Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, this is Mr. Lover Lover, Boombastic, Romantic, Fantastic, Shaggy. Yeah, and you're tuned in to How to Kill an Hour. Shut it! Yeah. Salute!
The contents of this podcast was recorded before the 25th of May 2020.
Are you serious?
Hello, this is How to Kill Now. My name is Marcus Bronzy, and right now we're about to jump into an episode with Shaggy. Yes, that's it. We're about to step into it. I'm also joined by producer Bill. How you doing, Bill?
Not too bad, mate. Not too bad.
Good to hear. Now, Bill, before we step into the episode, I just wanted to have a chat with the audience about some of the kit that we've been using during this coronavirus lockdown. Do you want to talk us through the kit that I've got in front of me? You've also got a similar one as well, haven't you?
It's called a Rodecaster Pro. Yes, I thought I'd
pick
one up as well to to give it a go, give it a spin, play with it. I do like creating my own sort of drops and voiceovers, so I thought I'd give it a go.
Yeah, man, and the great thing about the Rodecaster Pro is it's kind of something that's out the box ready to record a podcast with. And I think today, more than ever, people are going to be creating podcasts from home. And there are loads of different ways of doing this, right? There are big, intricate setups you can have at your house. There's really simple setups. And this is somewhere kind of in between. It requires an investment of a little bit of money. We'll talk about price and that in a moment. When you set up this Rodecaster Pro with some of the other Rode products, it actually makes quite a prolific podcasting thing. But before we get to the desk, let's talk about the mic real quickly. I'm using a pod mic, and the pod mic is a microphone that they've designed for podcasts. One thing is that it's very, very directional. So if I move off mic, you can kind of hear how the difference of my voice is as I move on and off mic. It's really, really directional. When you get really close to it and you have loads of P's and pops and S's and T's and stuff, it absorbs them quite well. Now, Billy, you're on a microphone that we do use at the studio quite a lot, which is the SM7B, right?
Correct, yeah.
Really good microphone, and it also sounds really good. It does the same sort of things with regards to picking up tone. It's got a pop filter and built in it. And I would dare to say that, yes, it is a microphone that has a better frequency response. But when you look at cost for this microphone, the pod mic is £98 and the SM7B is closer to £350. So the fact that you can get four of these microphones almost for the same cost as one means that you're getting a very valuable piece of podcasting kit. And I also understand if you're starting a podcast, you might not want to throw the whole bank at it. Do you know what I mean? The Rodecaster Pro desk is something that can do quite a lot for its cost as well. Let's find out an up-to-date cost on it. You know, for about £550, you can get yourself a fully working podcast desk. And what's really cool about it is Rode have kind of been updating it as it goes along. But first things first, we'll talk about how the microphone, Rode PodMic, and the Rodecaster Pro work together. It is pretty much, Bill, whipping the microphones out and plugging them into this desk, isn't it?
Yeah, I think you was going to touch on it just there. The thing that I like about the Rodecaster Pro, when you go into the settings area, you can set different things for your Shure SMB. So mine's set on dynamic. There's a dynamic microphone setting. There's a condenser microphone setting. There's a bunch of different Rode mic settings.
Yeah,
there is a specific one for the Rode pod mic, which you've got. All you have to do is just tap that and you're set. You don't have to do anything.
Exactly. I mean, you've got the Rode Broadcaster mic, the NT1, the NT1A, the Rode Procaster, and obviously, the pod mic as well. And also within those settings, you can add specific effects as well. So this has got quite a bit of processing on. I'm going to turn it all off right now and then we can turn it on again. So you can kind of hear how things change as a listener. So I'm turning off the noise gate. I'm turning off the oral exciter. Hey, that's what she said. So that's the microphone out the box plugged into this desk. I'm going to pop on the compressor now, which is, there you go, it's added a lot more presence. You can hear that, can't you? The noise gate, as I turn it on, I'll stay quiet for a bit, you should hear a little kind of bit of background noise. I've got a fan in the corner keeping me cool. As I turn this on, this should cut off noise when I'm not talking. Turn it on again, off again, turn it on again. Could you hear the difference there, Bill?
I could hear the difference, yeah.
So there you go, that's that one. Then we've got the oral exciter. Then we've got the Aphex onboard effects to brighten up my voice a little bit. There you go. And then we've got a high pass filter, which takes a little bit of bass out of my voice, which is sounds really cool. Now we're in the beta version of this software, so they've actually thrown some other tricks in as well. So there's actually reverb. There's some reverb. We can turn that off. I think that's really cool. One thing I'd like to change on this beta when it finally comes out, I'd love to be able to access that without having to go into the menus. That'd be great if I could have a button where I could turn that on or off again. That'd be really cool. So there you go. Yeah, go on.
Sorry, just to touch on that, I've been having like a back and forth with Rode on their Facebook Messenger. You can give feedback on the things they've added. I suggested a cool thing. Maybe you could hold down one of the effects tabs, and then that would set the reverb, and then you could use the slider next to it to adjust the strength of the reverb.
Yeah,
that'd be quite cool.
That'd be pretty cool. And we've had desks in the past where we've been able to do that to quite good effect. So yeah, also that's a great way to kind of step onto what's on the other side of the desk, as well as the bits where you can just plug in your microphone. So you've got four microphones here on the desk. You've also can plug in a USB device. You can connect a mobile phone via TRRS, basically a special lead, which means you can plug a phone in and somebody can chat to you on the phone without getting loads of funky feedback. You can also connect a Bluetooth device as well as an input. So there are quite a few ways you can create inputs that go right into the desk. And finally, you've also got an effects pads. You've got eight pads, which you can program with a number of different sets of sound effects. So I think it's up to eight, or maybe even more. I think you've got like a certain amount of memory on board. I can't remember what it is off the top though, Bill. Do you mind finding that out for me while I banter on about this desk?
Right? I'll have a look.
Thank you very much. And yeah, so you can actually fire off effects as well. I'm going to pick a random one here. What have we got here on our effects desk? A sad trombone. There we go. And they've done something pretty cool with these effects now. You can actually start to overdub effects. Now, this is something that is really powerful. We can start to edit effects once they're in the desk. So there's a funny sound effect we had. Dev made it up about Big Billy. And we have a raw piece of audio, just the guitar. So what I can do is go to my microphone, slap some reverb on, and there we go, there's the reverb. Go to set effect.
You ready for the memory?
Give me that.
512 megabits of internal memory for storing sounds for programmable pads.
Loads of space. So yeah, 500 megabytes. We get loads of sound effects on there. So I'm going to play the empty sound effect with an overdub on it. Is what I'm going to try and get at the end. So I'm going to play it, and then I'm going to go over the top. Business Billy! I thought that sounded pretty good. Let's have a listen. Business Billy! Save that, and now turn off the reverb because don't need that now. Now we actually have made this sound effect that we had to do in a computer. Business Billy! That one. Business Billy! And you can layer up sound effects. I mean, they don't have to be as crass as that, to be fair, but you know, whatever. We're having a bit of fun with it. So that's something that's really, really cool. We can layer up stuff. I mean, we can get guests to come in and do, like, you know, we sometimes ask yes or no questions. We can get them to do their own correct or incorrect answers. We can give them their own buzzers. Do you know what I mean? So it sounds really cool. It's quite fun. Also, there's a great companion app which sits on your computer. I'm using a Mac right now. It's called the Rodecaster Pro beta app, because obviously this isn't the full version. And now you can actually export your podcasts with a number of different settings, a number of different broadcast limits. So before, you can only pull them down as WAV files, which are quite big. You can now pull them down as MP3 files, and they can also be processed. So they have, I think it's Spotify, BBC, and another output which you can actually export. the audio as. And I mean, it's just kind of they're adding more and more in. And like I said, this is I'll call this a mid upper end of mid price range for this, because studios can become ridiculous. But you know, one mic, one desk, you're looking at about £650, and you've got everything you need to have a professional sounding podcast and an amazingly simple setup. And I mean, it's something we've been using at the studio for a while, and we wanted to kind of get our hands and see what we can get out of the Rodecaster Pro before talking to you guys about it. But I mean, it's something that I think if you're a podcaster that wants to get into the game, you want to start something new, it's worth having a look at. And I think in the future, Bill, we should talk through some other different options for podcasting. Maybe we'll go through some slightly cheaper ones, or maybe we'll go through some slightly more expensive ones for people that really want to have an elite sound. But I mean, for this combination of setup, it's pretty good to just have a desk you can turn on, record a great podcast to take off and get up online. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. Especially the fact you don't need a computer to record. You just need the desk. You need a computer to take the audio off, obviously, but to record, yeah. Or if you just hit record, bang, and you're away.
Exactly. Very simple to use. Very, very simple to use. I mean, and Rode are on some great podcasting products. We'll put links to these in the show description, and you can check those out. In the meantime, we've got an awesome interview with Shaggy to show you, recorded on the Rodecaster Pro and also with a pod mic as well. Enjoy.
Yo, this is Mr. Lover, Boombastic, Romantic, Fantastic, Shaggy. Yeah. And you're tuned in to How to Kill an Hour. Shaggy. Yeah. Salute. Man, they've been keeping me busy because we're putting out this new Hotshot 2020 album, which is a kind of an anniversary edition of the big selling, you know, Hotshot with Angel and Was Me and all these records. And so what I've been doing is they've been giving me all these promos to do. So I've been doing a lot of promo here and there. And in the midst of that, you know, I just started a new project, you know, like a Christmas project that I'm starting to work on. So it's, you know, and then I got, you know, I'm doing a lot of things. I'm producing new Spice album, and it's tons of things that I'm doing at the same time. So I do stay, as much as I'm here, I stay pretty busy. It sucks because I'm stuck in New York and my family is really in Jamaica. Yeah. And I'd love to be around my wife, kids and dogs, but you know.
Yeah, I think that's
ears and bad too.
Yeah, yeah. I hear that. That's something that we're all kind of experiencing at the moment. So appreciate you keeping it real. Can we set the scene for the people that can't see where you're at right now? Because you look like you're in a creative space.
This is actually my B studio. I was actually set up earlier before all the madness in my A studio.
Yeah.
And the A studio is where I did practically every song, Angel, It Was Me, you know, Sexy Lady, all, you know, Churchy, all the big records. But this is actually my B room, and this is where I actually write most of the stuff.
Okay.
You know what I mean? This is where I sit down and I write and I put the lyrics on the screen and I, you know, throw ideas around. And, you know, sometimes we write in a group, like me and two of my other guys, we sit around here, we have, you know, some gin and tonic or rum or whatever the poison of the choice may be. And, you know, they might light up and we come up with some crazy ideas. And sometimes I'm doing it by myself. Sometimes I'm just here and whatever ideas has come to me. So this is kind of where I, you know, just kind of get it done. I actually wrote three songs last night in here.
You wrote three songs in one night? Damn.
Yeah. We normally like probably four, but it was me, one of my other guys from, via Zoom, right, and my engineer, we're all in here, and I've knocked down three because I'm doing this Christmas Carol album, so I'm trying to do songs with like Christmas stuff. Last night one of the lines we came with, I did something where I'm saying, "I don't want no icy Christmas. Only ice I want to see is in my cup with some rum."
Yeah. I can relate to that.
It's really creating like a, you know, a Caribbean style Christmas vibe, you know, because the only Christmas I know is Jamaica.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to Jamaica on Christmas, it's the most fun you could ever have.
Yeah. Do you want to describe to our listeners? Yeah. Go on. Describe what it's like over there.
Because in America, when you go to Christmas in America, or any of these places, you're in a jacket and cold and snow and all of that. I'm not from that culture. I'm from a culture where it is beach, rum, weed.
For real.
I don't see why Christmas should be any different, you know, except Christmas is a time where families are always together, so the party's only turned up more.
Yeah.
You know, so you throw like a Christmas party and a New Year's party in Jamaica. That whole Christmas New Year vibe is just off the chain. I would not miss it for the world. You know, and I normally throw like a massive party at my house, a lot of people, and you know, we're having tons of food out, and you know, I mean, fireworks and you know, beach parties and pull the boat up and tie them together and jump from one to the other. I mean, that's Christmas. Yeah. And to top it off, you get presents.
Yeah, that as well. Yeah. You know, and if there's a bottle in one of my presents, I'm always happy as well. If there's a little brandy and a little cognac, I'm happy.
You know what I'm saying? That's all you need. Yeah.
So be real with me. Are you pining for your place at home right now? Because you travel there between there and your place in New York quite a lot. So at the moment, you're not really allowed to, are you?
No, I can't. And I've been going back and forth with the ambassador of Jamaica, just trying to see how quickly they could get me in. Mm. You know, because I want to go in, you know, I want to know when I can go in and when it's safe. You know, I think they're doing like government quarantine, and I don't want to do that. I don't want to be in some hotel
for
14 days.
I hear that.
So I'm waiting until it gets to a point where you can do home quarantine, and then I'll go.
Yeah.
You know, other than that, partially because I need to be doing things like these. And if I'm quarantined in some hotel, it's, you know, how am I going to, you know, it's going to be really tough to get all my camera equipment and my wardrobe and stuff like that to do these Zoom interviews and all of that.
Man said wardrobe for his Zoom interviews.
Hey man, you know what I mean? We got to make it look good. You saw me a little while when I was setting up, I was looking a different way. Now I'm flying.
Come on, son. You did. You turned it up. I mean, I can do that for half price now because I don't have to wear any pants or any trousers. So I'm all good. Shaggy's fully dressed. He's got pajamas on.
Well, son.
Standard. No.
Well, son.
Hey, you got to work the angles, man. Yeah,
You got to do whatever you got to do. Who needs a full outfit?
Standard. I rate that. So what's it like in New York at the moment? What's the situation there right now?
Obviously, New York is ground zero, and you know, I'm the worst person to ask because I only know what's on the news because I've only been out of my house 3 times in 8 weeks. So, you know, but in a lot of people who live in New York, they live in small apartments, so they have to venture on the street. Me, I'm outside of, you know, I'm in Long Island, so it's a pretty big house and I can, you know, I have it all to myself. So, you know, I have a nice backyard. I could go outside. I could catch some sun. I could, you know, I do what I want. So it's easier for me to really just stay quarantined while other people would be a bit of a task.
Yeah, if I can be real with you, it looks like New York, the way a city is designed, it looks like it's not easy to adhere to stricter quarantine because the city isn't built like that, right?
Yeah, you know, the city is designed really for you to use the amenities of the city. You know, that's how the city turns its dollar. So, you know, you pay a ton of money for real estate on these little apartments that you really don't want to stay in. So because you don't want to stay in these apartments, you really just use these apartments just to sleep and, you know, shower and eat. But not even eat. You know, most people I know in apartments don't cook. They're at a restaurant.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's designed for you to actually use the amenities of the city. So now in a pandemic like this, you're really for you to sit in this, you know, a little 2,000 square foot spot is not going to work for you. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Unless you got a really big place, which is going to cost you millions in New York anyway.
Yeah.
It's going to be a tough one.
Yeah. And I think it's going to be quite tough. Yeah. When we're moving forward as well. And people, when they do finally like ease things up eventually in some sort, it's going to be hard on the restaurants too. Cause I don't feel like I'm going to be the first man in the restaurant going to order food.
I can't wait though.
Yeah?
I can't wait. Yeah, I can't wait to go to a restaurant. That's one of my favorite things to do. You know, I'll be the first in line getting in there. my favorite spot.
Yeah.
If they open up. You know, I mean right now I'm getting food from them via, you know, Grubhub or, you know, just delivered.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still getting food from them like that, you know. And now I've been doing a lot of cooking here, so I've gotten into cooking and starting to enjoy it and, you know, cooking my own food. But
Yeah, I didn't mind that at all. I don't mind. I like going to a restaurant and not doing a damn thing.
Yeah. Where is your favorite joint
in
New York?
You know, like people who pay to go to a restaurant to do a buffet? What's the sense? You know, that's like cooking your own damn food. If I pay for a restaurant and I'm paying money, I want the best table and I want to be served. You know, you're lucky I'm not asking you to feed me and you know, spoon feed me.
I'm sure there's a restaurant where you can get that done if you pay the right kind of money.
You know what I mean? At any given moment, you could pay. So why shouldn't they spoon feed you? For the cost of what you're paying for some of these meals. Now, hey, check it out. Now that I'm cooking, because I was a little bit in like a bliss in a way, or just in a bubble, you know, because, you know, I just pay for the restaurant. I'm not sitting there checking the bill. It was like, I pay, you know. But now that I'm cooking and I see what a meal costs to cook, I'm like, man, what a ripoff. I mean-
You see the margin. That's where restaurants make their money. Yeah. Where is your favorite joint? Before we talk about the album, where is your favorite joint in New York where you like to eat?
Well, I got a couple of places. Mm-hmm. There's a steakhouse called Brian and Cooper in Long Island, not very far out. And it's just the best steaks. Mm. Best steaks. Best steaks, hands down. I've had steaks all around the world. The way these guys do it, they're on point.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right, big up. But before we talk about the album, because I can't wait to talk about that today, I really have to say I respect the fact, Shaggy, that you've been using your platform to strengthen the community kind of all over the world, as well as your homeland. You're the founder of Shaggy Make a Difference with Shaggy and Friends benefit concerts, and you raise millions for the Bustamante Children's Hospital. But you've also been really helping the world during this time. I mean, I've seen you on Twitch Stream Aid, MTV Unplugged. You even helped us over here in the UK. You're on the BBC for the Big Night In, man. So like that's a really good thing.
My brother, I come from a little town in Kingston called Raytown, from a very poor family. I've been allowed to travel the world, be with some of my heroes, have them know my name, make enough money to take my family out of extreme poverty. You know what I'm saying? Send members of my family to school and colleges and shit. And how, you know, this platform that I've been given, you know, that I've been blessed with, because none of it is me. If I didn't use it if you ask me what my biggest accomplishments, it's not Grammys or any accolades. It's actually having the ability to actually touch people's life or improve people's life. You know what I mean? On a positive note. When I look up my friends and families, I wrote Hot Shot album, and when I wrote that album, it's 11 people that bought homes and started their lives. You know, it's like somebody looking at you and says, oh man, you've made so much records and you can make, you don't need the money. Why are you touring? I'm like, you got to understand, when you go on tour, there is probably around 17 people that travel with. That's 17 electric bills, 17 school fees, 17, you know, mortgages. You know, then when you go to a venue, and we just played the UK with Nelly and all of us, there's 20,000 people. So you probably have about 100 people that's working, from riggers to security to all of that. That is what it is. It has nothing to do with you. You know what I mean? You're just a facilitator for people to actually get their lives going. You know? And if you don't realize that's your purpose, then you are totally friggin' lost. None of this is me. I'm a vessel, you know what I mean, to move things forward. You know, I might be sending a kid to school that might be the next person that cures cancer. The fuck I know. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. But how did that happen? Because I sang some song, made some money, and I was able to send, you know, one of my cousins or somebody else's kid, you know, or somebody else's kid that worked for me, went to college and furthered their education to the point of where they found a cure for cancer. It all snowballs, brother. So if you don't understand what your purpose is, that's it. My purpose is not fame, and my purpose is to use my platform and use me and my talents for the betterment of people. There's no other reason. I've passed the age of, I think when I just started was good because I got chicks. You know what I mean? I went to the club, I drank for free, I left with the hottest chicks, and it was chicks, fast cars and parties. I'm 51 years old, bro. You know what I'm saying? And I'm still doing really amazing things, making great music. And I was like, wow, really? Mm. It is what it is.
It sounds like you had your fill of fun time, Shaggy. I'll be honest with you. Being Mr. Lover Lover for all those years, boy.
There have been some moments.
Yeah. That sounded very specific. Rolling into clubs, not paying for anything, rolling in with a nice car and taking the nicest girl in the venue. You must have had some green eyes on you back in the day when you were doing those kind of moves.
My brother, it was why I got into music. I wish I could tell you it was deeper. You know, like, oh, man, you know, I have this, I wake up in the morning and I have poetry on my mind. And I'm like, really? No. You know, I was in Flatbush, you know, selling weed at the time and spitting lyrics. When I spit lyrics, I realized that, you know, the girls would laugh. Mm-hmm. And I talk about their hairstyle, their bags, their shoes, and rhyme it all. And they'd be like, oh, so cute. Yeah, and then I get the number. You know, I go to a club because I was a, you know, ghetto superstar. I had that local hit that was popping. That was a dancehall hit. I go to dancehall club. Yo, that's Shaggy. Come on in, man. I skip the line. Chicks want to come in with me because I skip the line.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? I go in. They got the table. I got the table right by the DJ. You know, I see him. I'm like, yo.
Run my tune. Yeah.
Yo, big up Shaggy out of the place. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Chicks like the camera guy come over. Yo, can I take a picture? The chicks be posed up. Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then the, you know, promoters, you know, they send a couple of bottles over. You know what I'm saying? Yo, you know what I mean? You know, if you drink my bottles, I'm getting models. Stop it.
Yes. So,
yeah.
So
those are the days. Those are the days.
Sound like good old days, man. And Hot Shot originally dropped 20 years ago, summer this year, and you know, 10 million sold. So when you were putting together this Hot Shot release, this must have brought back so many memories. I can see the glint in your eyes. You're talking about that one club experience. So when you were going through these records, man, you must have just have been overwhelmed with emotion.
It was agonizing in a way, because when I was asked if I wanted to do it, because it was 20 years, one, I couldn't believe that it was 20 years. So that was a little shocking.
Yeah.
And two, how do you do over an album that is still very recurrent? Because songs like It Wasn't Me are regular on TikTok and these young kids. Angel is still recurrent. Love Me, Love Me. All these songs are still getting played on radio and still a part of people's lives. They're very, if I say Mr. Boombastic, you know this song. You know what I'm saying?
Standard.
And that's right. Standard. And this is from 1995. You know what I mean? Oh, Caroline. So you're going to do these songs over. How are you going to, you know, how are you going to do them justice? And so that was the main challenge, to try and keep the authenticity of them. You know what I mean? But at the same time, create something that will connect with today's young people, the sound of today's young people.
Yeah.
And so you got to involve a little trap, a little bass, but make the sounds, you know what I mean? Just kind of incorporate it all, a little reggaeton, all of this to create a hybrid.
Exactly.
Of what the new thing is.
And just to drive this home, this is not just a re-release. You know, you've modernized, re-recorded parts of the track. So I'd love to talk the process of that.
So I actually I didn't take the whole Hot Shot album because I just didn't want to do that. So I took five of the main tracks from it. You know what I mean? Obviously all the singles were one of the top streaming ones. And then I took like Keeping It Real and songs like Hot Shot. And I did these songs. And then I added four new songs on it. You know, I did over some of my classics that I love, Buckingham Palace, Peter Tosh. You know, I did over Electric Avenue, Eddie Grant. You know, and you hear my Shaggy boy, I'm gonna rock down to you start getting the whole vibe. Electric Avenue, you get that whole vibe. And then I did songs like, I did two new songs. One is Caribbean Plans with a young lady by the name of Ronnie out of Amsterdam. Beautiful, but one of the most amazing voices I heard. I fell in love with her voice and just had to roll with it. And then I also did a new song with me and Sting called Primavera. I put Sting also singing the chorus on Angel. I put Angel, Ray Vaughan, who sang the original Angel on It Wasn't Me, you know? And then I just threw some other songs in there, like Mr. Bombastic, Old Carolina, Strength of a Woman, Hey Sexy Lady. These songs are songs that are part of the Caribbean culture and, you know, part of the whole movement. Because remember that this album was the album that really brought dancehall to the mainstream in 2000. That's the song, It Wasn't Me, it was a song that broke open and brought the numbers to the game where mainstream radio was starting to actually take dancehall and reggae as a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, and you were definitely one of the people that's responsible for shining a light. Because I've always feel like with dancehall, and I'd love to talk with you about this in the future, dancehall and reggae has always been at the root of what people enjoy when we go out and entertain ourselves in the clubs, right? But I feel like sometimes it is neglected in a way, and you've helped to kind of open a door. And when I say sometimes, all the time, you've opened a door with some of your crossover tunes, shall we call them those, yeah. and brought people in. So that's always been something that I've really liked that you've done, Shaggy.
Yeah, and it's still a struggle. You know, 100%. You just mentioned it. A lot of what's going on, if you look at dancehall and reggae, dancehall has spawned such genres as reggaeton. Mm-hmm. You know, in the early days, El General and I went to Erasmus High School, you know, and he was on one bench and I was on the other bench spitting lyrics. He does it in Spanish, I do it in English. And you got to remember when he started, he did songs like the beat, the reggaeton beat is called Dembow, which comes from Shabarang's Dembow. You know what I'm saying? So they used to do all the dancehall records in Spanish. That was the start of what is now reggaeton. Mm. You know what I mean? Afrobeat. When you see what's going on at Afrobeat in the early years, when you went to Africa, predominantly dancehall was their culture. I played stadiums after stadiums over there, you know what I'm saying, in Africa, because dancehall was the main cultural music that they played. You look at hip hop with Kool Herc, which is founded through dancehall and reggae. You know what I mean? So when you look at all of that, it's such a cultural statement that is made through dancehall and reggae music. You look at Ed Sheeran, you look at people like Justin Bieber, Rihanna, all these people are making records and they're doing 90s music and dancehall music. The influence is so strong, but a lot of people try to rename it and not give the credit where it's at. And that's where I have a problem with. Mm-hmm. You know, I love that they use the culture and use the music, but call it what it is. You know, it's a dancehall feel. It's a reggae feel. You know, you don't want to sit there and rebrand it,
yeah.
You know, as if it's and not say where it's from. That's my issue, because I've worked really hard over the years to try and bring this culture to a mainstream. Now that we're here, and dancehall is now the sound of popular music.
Yeah, it still is, and it has been for a very long time. It's very, I'll be honest, I don't think I've gone to a club where I've not heard dancehall or reggae at some point in the night. Ever.
You hear the hybrid of it.
Yeah, of course. And, you know, a little remix thing comes in, 100%. So you, on 2020, you swapped out a few features. You mentioned Sting. Now, you guys have a relationship. You've dropped an album, you know, got the Grammy off that as well, another Grammy off that as well. So him ending up on It Wasn't Me, how'd that conversation go? Because you guys are quite tight now. So was it just like, hey, you want to jump on? Or?
Yeah, it was a lot about this album came from his My Songs album, which he did over all his tracks and tracks that he wrote from The Police and on an album called My Songs. And the way he did them, you know, it was really successful and he toured on it and the album did well and it sounded well. I was like, so I was a little apprehensive in doing it because I was like, you know, and then he explained to me, I was like, yo, if you've got a kid and the kid got, you put a red shirt on the kid and then tomorrow you put a green shirt on the kid. You know what I mean? Who's going to tell you not to put a red shirt on the kid? Is your kid. Mm. You know what I'm saying? And when you put it in perspective like that, I'm like, you know, it's like, these songs are your songs. It doesn't matter what anybody, you wrote them, you birthed them. And I thought about it. I was like, yeah, what the hell? I mean, I wrote these lyrics. These are mine. I came up with them. You know what I mean? So, that made me feel a little bit easier. And so he kind of got me. Even to do Electric Avenue was his idea. You know, we did it at the Rainforest concert and we did it live and it was crazy. He asked me to do it then. And then he came back again and he said, I think you should, if you did that so well, I think you should record it. And we did that. When I did Angel, I recorded a lot of this in the dressing room on his tour. I was just visiting on his tour at the time. And I think it was his last ship play. And he would come out and do parts of the play and then come back and in the studio be rocking music with us. So we set up one of the dressing room as a studio, and he'd just go out and play something. He'd come back in and sit down. And when I was voicing Angel at the time, they said, let me do that. And he just went ahead and sang it, because he did it every night on stage anyway with us while we were touring, you know. And that's how most of it kind of came up. When I did Electric Avenue, he was there, Buckingham Palace. I voiced those songs while he was in the room, you know what I mean? And so it was easy for us to kind of put these records together, you know, and just kind of mix them and say, so, you know, he was a big part of it.
How fair is it to say that when you and Sting got together, he really became a muse of some sorts, or maybe injected some extra energy into where you were at in your career at the moment? Because I feel like you two coming together, you bounced off each other, and the energy you've created, you've both taken away with you.
Yeah, he'd probably say the same thing. He said to me that, and I actually heard it we're in an interview together, and he says, this is the most fun I've ever had in my whole career. Yes. While we're on tour. And it kind of took me aback. So I looked at him and I said, wow, really? Because, you know, you did all of these massive stuff. He's like, yo, I've had so much fun doing this. I can't remember having this much fun. And when I thought about it myself, I'm like, this is kind of the most fun I've had. Even though I had Hot Shot and I toured around the world and I was on top of it, Hot Shot is a blur. And I think for him, it's kind of like that during the Police days. It's such a blur to him that now when you're on this, you're at an age where you can actually soak it in. You know, I mean, I soaked the 44876, the tour, the journey, the TV show, the camaraderie with him and me, the jokes, the competition, the everything. I soaked it all up. The friendship, but, you know, this was a friendship I didn't know I needed. This was a brother I didn't know I needed. And what he did was validated me within myself. Because when you're doing this so long, you start to wonder sometimes if what you're doing is cool or if you're any good. You know, you get these doubts. And then if you have people around you that are not secure within themselves, they'll bring their own insecurities onto you. I think I was at a place where a lot of that was happening. And when he came in, it was like, dude, what you're doing there is genius. What are you doing? Oh, how did you do that? Yo, that is that. You know, it was just really very complimentary, genuinely just kind of moved by what I was coming up with. It gave me validation. It made me feel less insecure. It was something I needed. It was that shot in my arm that I needed from him. This guy is, you know, 150 million soul, 20 Grammys. I mean, but yet still he's like one of the most genius songwriters. And he's sitting there and says, dude, those melodies you're coming up with, amazing. How do you do this? You know, the way you did it. And just, it was really good for me, you know?
Can only imagine, man. Can only imagine. And Sting's got a relationship with Jamaica already, hasn't he?
Well, you got to remember now, he wrote Every Breath You Take, Every Little Thing She Does Is Magic, King of Pain. A lot of those songs were written at Goldeneye in Jamaica, which is the house of Ian Fleming, same desk that he wrote the James Bond novel on. And that's where he was. You know, he was there. So me bringing him back to Jamaica to do Shaggy and Friends, it was like him coming home in a way, you know. Yeah. And you could tell because he stayed in the local hotel. He rolled around with me. He went into the ghettos with me. We went to go eat fish on the beach. We did all of this. And I was like, you know, and he also went to the local ice cream parlor because people don't know that one of Sting's addiction is vanilla ice cream.
Vanilla, though. Vanilla's a nice flavor to put something on, though. Was he just having the straight vanilla? Is that his thing?
Straight vanilla ice cream. It's vanilla ice cream. That's his thing.
Okay.
It's got, you know, I'm like, you don't want, like, you know, caramel or
sprinkles,
you know, or sprinkles. And it's like, no, straight vanilla ice cream. All that's right. It. He all loves right. It.
Fair enough, Sting. Fair enough, Sting. So listen, he can do what he wants. Yeah.
In the market for investment worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
So, you know, you're both successful in your own right. I mean, just you as a dancehall reggae artist, I mean, you're the only diamond selling in music history. You've had success with conventional record sales, but now also on the streaming side of things as well. You're like one of the top three stream reggae artists on Spotify. What's the secret sauce, Shaggy, man? What's in that?
I don't think it's the fact that we're the top. The three top streamers, myself, Sean, and I think Bob Marley.
Yeah,
and that's great company to be in. Don't get me wrong, 100%. But I don't think that we're doing such great. I think the rest of the genre is doing so badly that we look great, you know. And I think that's a problem. If you look at all of the genres around, dancehall is the lowest streaming genre there is, and so that's a problem for us. And we got to find a way to get back into the game and get a seat. You know, and, you know, that is my mission at that point. I've had conversations with people like Sean Paul on a regular basis. And he's in that same vibe with me where it was like, okay, it's a little scary. You know, we are what every music is influenced by, but yet still our genre is the lowest streaming. And that bothers us. You know what I mean? So we just got to find a way around it. You know, big up the coffee. You know, gave us a shot in the arm the other day. You know what I mean? And but you know, she can't do it by herself. We need a movement. We got to get our things together.
Yeah, how can we do this? That was going to ask you next. Is how can we fix this? You know.
Well, in me analyzing it, when I look at the numbers of songs that are streaming, '90s dancehall is what's streaming more. If you look at what Ed Sheeran and Rihanna and Justin Bieber and all these people are sampling, they're sampling '90s dancehall. You know what I mean? So I think with this new style of music, they've taken the dance out of the dance hall, you know, because and it's just a generational thing, because if you look at nightclubs these days, don't have dance floors anymore. It's really tables and
bowls. You know,
so they're singing like they're doing like these real sing-along. It's really a sing-along type of a thing that's coming. And what is happening to do sing-along dance hall? You know what I mean? If you listen to most of the sing-along dancehall, they're in raw patwa. So the mainstream is not going to be singing along to raw patwa. So it makes a song have a ceiling. You know, what used to make me and Sean get away with a lot of stuff was that we had the music, the beat, the dancehall beat kept them dancing and we sounded good. So it didn't matter what we say. You're not hearing it. It's like, I don't know. Oh, you're making do it, man. I'll tell you. You ever heard him sing it? Wasn't it? No. But, you know, it kept them dancing.
For real.
You know, the beat was there and it kept them moving and it was a vibe. You know what I mean? I think now that you've taken the dance, because a lot of the music that they're doing now, it's not as danceable.
Yeah.
You know, there's a groove there and all of that, but it's a lot of lyrical singing and it's in rap patois.
Mm.
You know, and I think that might be an issue because you got to kind of, I did it really smart. I would do like some patois words here. I'd do the dancehall melody, but I put some dancehall and some like a reggae, you know, some like a dancehall words in it. But then I make my hook have as much English to grab your ass right there. Be like, oh, you mind? Honey came in there. So it's a mixture.
Yeah.
You know, you could do a honey came in there. It wasn't me. You getting all that shit. But then I put that, right? Oh, you're bigger than a woman. I'm sorry to your villa. That was raw. I know. When I was making that record, that nobody was gonna understand it. They just say, "Whoa, that sounds good," and they just. And by the time you do that for like 8 bars, they go back into "But you call me on the counter." It wasn't me. Yeah. I mean, so that was English. So you got to figure a way how to do it. A lot of these guys are just making records that are just straight because that's the environment they're in.
Yeah, I mean, you got away with saying some naughty things as well, though. You know, when you really break down the lyrical content, Shaggy, you got away with some spicy things. Even in Hot Shot, man's talking about discombobulating girls' parts. I'm like, whoa, okay.
Discombobulating parts.
And also, as well as that, I just want to do a public service announcement to all those listening. If you've never had a rub down or a wind to 90s dancehall, I feel like you're really missing out because there's nothing like that. I mean, getting a wind to lyrics and sing along to a chorus, that's okay. But getting a real rub in a dance.
Yeah, so I think that's part of the problem is just the dance is out of it. And big up to Ding Dong, a lot of these guys were really, you know, keeping that whole energy up and that excitement up, you know. Yeah. A lot of cats that still do that because it's part of dancehall is colorful, you know. But you're seeing it, and a lot of the lyrics that these guys are talking are real hot. I mean, they're spitting some joints, you know. There's a guy called TJ out of Jamaica making some dope joints. But the problem, you know, if the mainstream can't understand it, then, you know, for me as Jamaican, I know he's spitting some fire. For average kid on the global scheme who don't know the culture like that, not getting into it like that, it's gonna like, yeah, and you know, it's gonna be a hard one. Even a lot of Vibes Cartel who's had more success at that than the average person there, you know. But I mean, again, if you go back and look at numbers like you said, it's still different. You know, the numbers still is not enough to really carry the whole genre.
I mean, is it just a case of, is it something that the artists can do to improve this, or is it something that we as an industry need to do? I know that there's no clear solution, but I just feel like
exactly. I don't know the answer that. Yeah. You know what I mean? Everything got to come from a vibe. You know what I mean? I was excited when I saw Coffee because it was something different and just like, you know what I mean? So that was exciting. You know what I mean? And you know, we just need more support. We need, and Jamaica's no shortage of, you're going to find somebody pop up out of there and they're like, oh, dude, you see the numbers this guy's moving? You know, because it always does. You know, it happened with Boji, it happened with me, it happened with Sean. It's like, we're going to find it. It's going to happen because it's just history. That's just a track record about dancehall is.
Yeah, you know,
and dancehall time, it's coming back. It's going to come back.
Yeah, and Hot Shot 2020, I feel like you are going to help to feed into a positive resolution for that because you don't start the album soft. You go right in with Hot Shot.
The new one. The new one kicked, right?
That's what I'm saying. Like I was pleasantly surprised because I put it on my system and it kicked in. I was like, yo, okay. What?
Dude, let me tell you something. When I was doing the album first, I was like, okay, I'm agonizing about how am I going to really make this record better than what it was. And once we started, I'm like, man, we have so much more technology at our fingertips and EQ wise and the sounds that we could beef up and make things. So, and when it was done and Rob Orton or Super Mixer, 4-time Grammy winner, you know, part of her team, you know, he literally, the mix that he put on these records, when I got him back, it was just sonically kicking me. I'm like, oh my God, listen to this. Mm. It was, you know, and Hot Shot was one of them too. When they filmed, I was like, woo. I'm like, yo, this is like right now. The funniest thing is that I was playing the record here and a young DJ was here at the studio.
Yeah.
And he popped his head and was like, yo, that release yet? What? What's that? And I'm like, it's Hot Shot. What's that? Because he's so young. He wasn't, you know, I mean, the guy's like, I don't know, like 17 or something like that. Young, crazy. Young DJ.
Yeah.
He wasn't around when Hot Shot, you know, and it wasn't a single, it was an album track. So he didn't know the record. I'm like, it's on Hot Shot, the original. That song is called Hot Shot. He's like, oh, yo, that could be right now, dude. That could be right now. And I'm like, yo. Yeah. It was that solid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And a lot of them came out like that. It was just like kicking. I was like, boomastic. Ooh, that's another one. That the kicking is like, woo!
I feel like if you're an existing Shaggy fan, you will enjoy these versions of the tracks.
I was surprised.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm like, I was surprised. It's crazy when you're doing it and surprising yourself.
Yeah.
I'm surprised by how it came out. But, you know, I have an amazing team. So even what I did whatever the vision I had, they just enhance it. Shane Roussan, you know, Dave Vade, Martin Kirzenbaum, you know, people like, you know, Rob Orton, these guys, they brought the sauce to it.
Yeah.
You know, I was like, woo, they made, and that's what producers' jobs are, is to basically facilitate the artist's vision, you know, and these guys did it incredibly well. And it, when it came, when it was all done, I was like, wow, this really sounds good.
Yeah, it really, really does.
Yeah. Even Electric Avenue was just like, oh, wow, I'm happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, with regards to technology and recording in studios, over time, how's that changed for you, the experience? I mean, as we speak now, I'm looking at you and you're in Studio B in your apartment. You've got two studio setups, but how is that changed with regards to how you were first recording your, well, recording your first tracks to now?
I've had this house since 1996, so you're looking at, this is an overkill. Like, we have a proper, like, the A studio is like a proper soundproof, proper studio, you know what I mean? With vocal booths and blah, blah, blah. This is an overkill. Nowadays, you just need a room, you know, an interface, computer, great mic, you know, and you have technology as well. Even if you're doing live music, you could actually cheat live music.
Really? Because
there's sound banks of live sounds that you could just pick and create drum patterns, and it sounds like somebody is there playing it live. There's even programs to actually make it, you know, when you play it live, things might not be steady, that adds to the feel. There's programs that make you do that. You know what I mean? If you're a good producer, know what you're listening for.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's at your fingertips. Everything is software. It's no hardware anymore. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like, you know, I know people who are sitting there buying SSL boards and they're buying tape machines and buying all of these stuff. And you might sit down and make this beautiful, warm, analog mix. Then what are you going to do? You're going to put it on DSPs and it's going to go right back to digital. I'm not wasting my money on that. I'm doing everything in a box and I'm mastering the box.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So whatever digital box, whatever I'm mixing on or doing stuff, my ears is going to adjust and I'm going to master it. I'm going to master the sonics of it so that I'm getting the best of what this computer could offer me or these computer sounds could offer me. I'm going to find a way to make it warm like the original, like how it was, but still it has that edge. So you create, I'm always creating hybrids. You know, there's no music that I've done that is pure.
Yeah.
I don't even think music is pure. What music is pure these days? Everything is a hybrid.
Yeah.
You know, there's a little bit of jazz mixed in with a little bit of pop, with a little bit of country, with a little bit of reggae, with a little bit of Latin, you know. That's how we have a song Primavera on there with me and Sting, which got a little bit of dance song mixed with a little bit of Latin. it's a little salsa. I mean, that's how we do it.
Yeah.
And I mean, we create hybrids and that's what makes the culture move.
Exactly. Taking the tools and resources that you have to make what you want to make. And I can see, I mean, can you talk us through some of this kit? I'm looking at some of the kit that you got in the B studio now. I can see an interface, see some headphones in the background. What are we working with right now?
Yeah.
What have we got here? Talk us through it.
I mean, it's literally, because this is the B room. We only literally just do like, voice demos and stuff like that. The idea, because our writing here, then we might just jump in this little booth, have a little vocal booth.
Oh, right, a little vocal booth behind you. Okay, cool.
Right. And we go in there and we'll cut it and just to have the idea. And then I'll take it around and we could add drum sounds in the main studios and do other stuff to it and perfect it. Then I'll do a proper vocal to it. Mm. You know what I mean? But this is just like, just literal idea stuff. You know what I'm saying? And we'll record the ideas and put it up on the screens and stuff like this. We got the focal speakers. These are just monitors, but I have two subs under there, so it makes it really kick. Two 15-inch
nice.
Subs under there. You know, we got the interface. It's nothing really crazy here. This is just, and of course, we got, I don't know if you can see it. If we want to, like down here.
Okay.
So we'll pull it out, and if we want to, you know, just put some cords on or whatever it is, we'll do all of that, you know what I'm saying? Just
yeah.
So, you know, the whole thing is done. So
nice.
It's not a lot of things in here, but that's, you don't need anything. You can sometimes just use a laptop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And you get, you know, the main studio got a lot more stuff, but it's still an overkill. You don't really need all of that.
Yeah, I mean, we've spoken to a few artists over the last few weeks, and the general consensus is, now that some don't have an option like yourself, they don't have a studio or two in their property, they are creating home setups. And to be fair, through innovation, we're getting sound that, I'm not going to ever say better than a professional studio, okay? I understand that there's certain things that they have, but sound that can very much stand up to what has been, you know, you've had to go to professional studios for in the past.
And I get that. For me personally, I will create stuff like a lot of this album was created backstage with a laptop and an interface. You know, I voiced Electric Avenue. A lot of these records I voiced, Angel, I voiced those records in the dressing room at Sting's show. You know what I mean? So I get that. But then when I took it back, you know, that we perfected things, you know what I mean? I might cut over a little bit of vocal, I might have said something better, did a line better or part of the vocal better, with a bit different the tone of my voice and the vibe of it when I was at the rehearsal room or the dressing room. And then I patch it up with what I might do here. And it's, you know, I mean, so you put it, but so whatever the last outcome, it will be professional. I'm not putting just the computer stuff out there. I'm going to run it through all my processes here and I'm going to do the work on it. To make sure it is fly. I'm going to send it to Rob Wharton, who is another level of genius. You know what I mean? And he's going to do his sound tweaking in his mind, you know, and he's amazing. I've sent records to Rob Wharton and he sent it back to me and it was like, you know, I don't think that bridge there works, or I don't think that works. And I'll listen to it because, you know, I trust his ear. It's trusting your team. 100%. You know what I'm saying? You know? Martin Kirzenbaum, who is my manager, but is also, you know, also a great musician. This guy plays every instrument, you know, produces on from Tattoo all the way down to Lady Gaga's album. And so these are guys that know music. So I'm surrounded with really professional people. You know what I mean? And there's always thing I could call on, you know what I mean? To be like, well, Shaggy, I think that bass line could move. oh, yeah? Here's the bass. Move it for me. You know what I mean? It's good to have that there. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
For real. That's good peers to have. That. Have you fired over Hotshot 2020 to him then?
Oh, he knows everything. He's heard everything. Yeah. He was there in the making of it. You know what I mean? And did his point and gave his pointers. Yeah, he's very involved in it. And as I try to be as involved in everything that they do, because he'll hit me on my like, oh, I got this song or this idea or whatever it is. So. That's great.
That's really good to hear. Now, before you were an artist, you were in the military. That must feel like a long time ago now. Serving in Field Artillery Battery, is that right? Is that what part is that? In I'm not a military man, I'll be honest.
I fire bombs, bro.
Really?
I fire 155 howitzers. I have the rounds is about 95 pounds. I throw them in a big gun. I fire it and it's called indirect fire. You don't even see where it lands. They give you a coordinates, you know what I mean? Deflection, you know what I mean? Quadrant deflection, boom, get a grid square and I blow up a grid square.
That's I'll be honest, you use a lot of military words right there. I didn't understand the word. You said grid square. I understand big
quadrant
gun.
Deflection.
Quadrant deflection. I don't know whether I'm watching Star Trek or listening to the army right now.
I fired howitzers. Howitzers.
What are howitzers?
Big guns.
No, they're
howitzers
big guns.
They're huge. Big. Some of them are on wheels. Some of them have, you know, are howitzers. Like, you know, they're like tanks.
Yeah.
You know, but bigger guns than like a tank will fire, but it's a shorter range than a howitzer will go miles.
Really?
And go up grid squares. Yeah.
And grid, oh, okay, cool. And I've read that you perfected your voice or you formed some of your voice while you're working in the military. How true is this?
Well, the military raised me.
Yeah.
I didn't, people think I'll go to the military to fire a gun. I didn't go to the military to fire a gun or learn to fire a gun. The streets taught me that. You know, the hood taught me that. I went to the military to learn how to balance my checkbook. You know, that's where I learned to be disciplined and be on time and be, you know, have a drive. and stay fit and keep your body in shape. And, you know, all of that I've taken into my life today. I'm a neat freak to this day. I'm cooking a lot now, so I'm eating. The minute I start to feel a little uncomfortable because my shirt might be getting a little tight, then I stop eating and go back into training. And I'll do that at a heartbeat.
Yeah.
You know, if I got something, if they look at me and says, okay, Shaggy, you're going to go out on tour in next month. I'm riding the gym.
For real.
Getting ready for it the next month. It's like a boxer for a fight. You train for it. You know what I mean? So with my voice, I used to run and sing cadences in the military. I was like, I don't know, but I've been told. My CEO wears pantyhose, and I make these things up and sing funny cadences for the for my squad, and they'd love it, you know what I mean? Because then I was just kind of mocking the drill instructors. The drill instructors are talking, hey boy, you need to come over here, boy. All right, boy. You know what I mean? And then right after they're done, hey boy, come, give me 20 now, boy. Like, hey, yo, you know, last night we went out. Would you buy that? So they'll have a conversation like that and just talk regular. You know, you want to get my, you have no beer. Yo, that girl over there, man, she was looking good. Hey, I want to see you go, boy. Yeah, what you say? they'll do things like that. And you'd be like, oh, that voice is a total put on, you know? So when I was running and singing cadences, I'd do the same thing. Just like, I don't know, but I've been told. Hey, y'all ready, everybody? Let's go. Put him up, let him up. I feel we're party. I was making a mockery of them.
Yeah.
The platoon was loving it because, you know, obviously we want to make mockeries of our captors.
Of course.
That's what the drill instructors are. They're captors. They're like prison guards. You know what I'm saying? And, but I didn't know that was vocal training because I was running 3-4 miles singing from your gut, you know? And the minute I did that in Old Carolina, I'm like, oh my God, that's such a great song that they hit. Here's $1 million. Okay. Let's do it again.
The voice stays.
The lava. Yeah. Ooh, wow, that's great. Number one. Here's $1 million. I'm like, oh, I can get used to this. By the way, we could throw in a first class seat and seat and suites. You know,
I feel like.
Did I mention chicks? Chicks. You know, what are you doing, man?
I feel like if you throw that voice on, people definitely listen to you. So, have you ever used it outside of music just to make somebody pay attention? I feel like if you're a dad telling off a child using that voice, they're gonna listen.
I told you, pick up your closet.
Yeah. My back just straightened up.
My daughters are looking at me like. What are you doing? And laugh and walk away from me.
What do they think you're using?
I have so no authorities with my daughter. Like there's no, if you think that you're a touring dad doing music and you're a superstar and you think that you could trump mom, think again. There's nothing I say. It's like, yo, you need to go. Did you ask mom? I'm telling you to please.
Oh, bless her. Bless
it's
her.
Crazy, man.
Yeah.
Oh,
so what do they think of dad's music then?
I think they know my music and like my music, but not in front of me. Like they'll make me seem like I'm the corniest guy in front of me. But then I'll hear from other people like, oh yeah, they were singing the song or they like the song or like my wife will look at me and says, did you know that they played you? I think it was You Girl with me and Neil when we put it out. And she would play that in the car every morning. That was their song. And she told me, I was like, no, they don't. They don't even act like they like any of my stuff. And then she ended up secretly taping them one morning.
Yes.
While they were singing and she turned her phone on and was like, yo, see, I told you. So that's how I know that they're really into it. But when they're in front of me, they ain't trying to do that. They're like, you're not gonna come here and play superstar, you're dad. Now take me to horse riding.
Right, kids will be kids, man. I don't know if they're at the right age. Did they enjoy the Little Mermaid live that you did? Because
they were there.
Oh yeah, well, that must have been wonderful. Oh, perfect.
Yeah. there were nine. My twin girls are nine, and my other young lady is 13. And they all came and was on set with me, with my wife. And it was a big deal, man. It was big to be in that whole production and doing something that I've never done in my whole life for the first time. And if you're going to jump off and take a leap with Disney. these guys know how to do it. You know what I mean? Take a leap with Disney. If you're going to do it with them. They know what they're doing.
I thought you were going to say they know how to write a check, because apparently they know how to do that as well.
Yeah, they don't have any shortage of money. you just have to make the right deal.
Yeah, but, exactly.
For me, it wasn't a money thing. It was,
of course,
and the opportunity to really push my talents to a limit that I never thought I could, and get into. You know, I think recently we wrote music for a cartoon. I think it was I don't want to give away the cartoon, but we wrote lyrics for a cartoon, a show. And I did it, and they were just like, "Oh my god, this is great!" And I was like, "Okay," because it was something new that I was doing. You know what I mean? And big up to Martin, who always pushes me to do things that I'm not comfortable doing. You know, if I have ever had a manager that's put me in the most uncomfortable situations and try to make me be comfortable outside of my comfort zone, Martin is that guy.
Big up Martin.
I would be like, I hate doing that. And then he was like, yeah, well, that wasn't too bad.
But I mean, if I'm honest, I could hear you doing more Disney stuff. I mean, because I've Disney Plus has just dropped. I've been watching a few of the old Disney things. And I can see you doing more with Disney. It makes sense. I mean, your voice is iconic.
I'm at a place where I'm ready to take that leap at it too. You know, I don't mind going there with it, you know, and as long as because I have a great support team, you know, I have people around me who's going to help me through my insecurities, you know, when tackling any of these. So it's good to have that kind of team that to make you do that.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I definitely look forward to that, man. More Disney stuff. So Shaggy and Friends now, obviously you can't get out there and get on the road now. So what's going to be the plan with that? Because I know you're very active in trying to support and help.
I don't know if I'm going to do the concerts again, to be honest with you, because it takes a really lap to make these concert work. You know, we're talking 20,000 people at a time in Jamaica, artists, logistics, flights, hotels. Oh my God, it's such a production, you know? But they're also, I'm not ruling it out either. But for now, we don't have any immediate plans for that, you know? But we might do smaller stuff with less volume of people, but a higher price, you know? Obviously, now is not the time to do it because everybody's broke. Yeah. But, you know, there's other ways that we could support the charity, and we have been doing that, and we will do that.
Good, man. That's really happy to hear, man. And like I said, like, I really appreciate everything you've been doing, because for somebody who is, you know, from Jamaica, living in New York, the fact that you're doing bits and bobs on our television, you know, that's appreciated. You know what I mean?
I stay in the game, bro. You know, somebody called me yesterday. It's like, dude, I'm seeing you everywhere. You know, don't you rest? I'm like, we're in quarantine. That's all you have is rest time. Please stop.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? This is keeping me sane. You know, me getting up and doing a Zoom interview is actually giving me a purpose. Like, God, I mean, what am I going to do? Watch Netflix again?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I feel like Netflix is watching me more than watching Netflix.
Oh my God, I've binge watched every show that I've liked so far. I'm over it.
What have you enjoyed recently on Netflix? Our audience loves to hear about stuff
like that. I just finished Heist.
How was Money? Is that Money Heist? Heist.
Money Heist.
Yes. Money Heist,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I just finished the whole thing, which was pretty good. I enjoyed it. Billions is another one of my favorites. I like that. Top Boy, I finished all of those, and you know, I hope there's a new season coming out and we're in it, because I love that. There's tons of stuff that I'm into. Shameless, I watch for.
Really? Shameless. Okay, yeah.
There's a Shameless UK and the American version. I was watching the American one.
I've not seen that one yet. I feel like I need to watch that.
William H. Macy is the lead guy in there.
Okay. All right, man.
And I've gone through quite a few joints.
Yeah, 100%. Before we let you get out of here though, there's one tune that I came back to me while I was researching you Shaggy, and it was the song that you did with Ali G, Mijuli.
Mijuli, yeah. He did it here. Funny enough.
He
came and he stayed at this house for about 4 days.
What was it like?
And him and Dan. I remember Dan. And we just sat here and I remember when we were doing it, he says he wants to write his own lyrics. And I was like, huh? I was like, yeah. I was like, he wants to write his own lyrics and he wants to sing them. And him and Dan sat there and came up my big Babylon and all of that. Yeah, and all of that. And I was like, I came up with the idea to sing about Mijuli. When I was watching his comedy skit, he says, you will not go over there with me and Mijuli. I'm like, okay, let's do it. Let's do a song called Mijuli. You know, A to the L to the I to the Jizzy, J to the L I Izzy. You know, so he came up with that really catchy kind of hook. Me and Dave Kelly actually wrote that record together.
Real talk.
And yeah, and then he wanted to do his own lyrics, and then he wanted to cut it, and then he spent hours trying to cut it because he couldn't get on time. And he says, let me tell you something, man. I have much respect for you guys. I thought it was easier than it looks. I'm like, yeah. And so we ended up cutting the record, but it's Sasha is just he's nothing like the Ali G character. He's soft spoken. Really easy, cool, and and then of course he did Borat and made millions and did all this other characters. So yeah, it's really talented, bro. Now he's doing a lot of serious acting. I've seen him in a lot of things that are very serious, and I'm like, wow, you really taking your chops to that next level.
Yeah, he's definitely got more of a range. I feel like he's trying to prove that 100%. Definitely trying to prove his range with.
Listen, he's got more balls than anybody else I know, man. There's some things he do in some of them shows, and I'm like, you're a guy committed to the art. I'm telling you, by any means necessary, we will get the scene.
Yes. By any means necessary, we will piss somebody off as well.
We'll piss somebody off by any means necessary, just to get that reaction on. And he's like, did you get that? Did you get that? You got that, right? Because we can't do that over. The guy's pissed off and he's gone for a gun. So we cannot do that again.
Oh man, this the recent series in America that he did, I don't know how he didn't get shot doing that. He got away with some crazy stuff there, but
amazing guy.
So just to clarify, Hot Shot 2020, when can we expect it? Because you can pre-order it now. We will put the link in the show description.
July 10th.
Okay,
July 10th, and it's a great listen. It's all your favorites, done in a way that it's just kicking your speakers in and you're feeling it and getting the emotions, and they were revoiced, revocal, and reproduced, and just great, and still kept that authenticity of the original record, but just a great vibe. Yeah, so
for real. If you're a fan of Shaggy,
we actually have a big TikTok record right now, by the way, Banana Conquer featuring myself.
Yeah,
it's like the hottest trending record right now on TikTok. You should go check that out.
Yeah, I will do. Like, how does it feel in this world knowing that things like TikTok can blow up rhythms here and there? Because like, it, for example, it wasn't me that is still making a resurgence on TikTok as well.
Yeah. TikTok has kept the Wasn't Me alive. So absolutely, 110%. And then there's this new TikTok phenom is amazing. So I'm glad to be having my brand be associated with these young people in TikTok, you know what I mean? Because we're talking almost 30 years here.
Yeah.
But people are still playing you on TikTok and still doing Shaggy records and whatnot. And, it's cool.
Yeah.
But listen, I don't understand a lot of it. I just sit here and make records, and then they calling me like, dude, you got the top number one record in TikTok, dude. You did it. I'm like, okay.
What is a TikTok? Right, is that? I thought that was a mint. No, that's not a mint. Yeah. That's an actual app. Okay. I'm with you.
I'm not that bad. I don't want to say that. But,
yeah, for real.
But, you know, it's, and I've actually did videos on TikTok before. But I'm now getting a little bit more frequent in it because I realize, like, wow, a lot of my stuff is really on there.
What is your TikTok? We should share that with our audience as well.
I think I did one with, was it That Love? I think it was That Love, that song, That Love.
All right.
And I might do another one coming up here. I like being creative when I do. I got to find something to be creative when I do.
We'll share the TikTok handles as well. But no, thank you very much for joining us here on How to Kill an Hour, Shaggy. And like I keep saying, Hotshot 2020, if you're a fan of Shaggy, it's got something in there for you. And if, you know, you're a young person listening to this and, you know, you've heard a few of Shaggy's tunes on TikTok and here or there, you can get a real cross-the-border feel for the music you can put out. It's a great album.
Yeah.
It's a schooling. That's what it is. You got to take them to school sometimes.
Hotshot Twitter. It's edutainment.
That's the one. That's the one.
Edutainment.
Mm, indeed. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us. And
much respect, man.
100%, man. Bless up.
Yeah, man. All right. Salud.
Hey, folks. I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.